Good morning. This is Let's Talk New Mexico. I'm your host, Hannah Colton, news director and public health reporter here at KUNM. Behind each of the 169 COVID-related deaths in our state is a human who is loved and who leaves behind a unique legacy for their family, friends, and community. This morning, we're taking time to pay tribute to New Mexicans who died from the coronavirus. We'll hear about their joys, their hobbies and habits, their contributions, and how they'll be remembered. We're going to hear conversations that aired on Your New Mexico Government, our show last week. But if you're listening and you want to share about a loved one you lost to this pandemic, know that we'd be honored to hear about them this morning. You can also call and share with us how you're dealing with the heavy emotions that come with this global crisis. The number to call is 505-277-5866. Or if you're on a landline outside the metro area, call toll-free at 1-877-899-5866. You can also send an email to letstalk@kunm.org. We'll also be joined this morning by a staff member from the Children's Grief Center of New Mexico who is accustomed to navigating these kinds of conversations. And if this show brings up any rough feelings for you and you need to talk to someone right away, the New Mexico Crisis and Access Line is there for you. That number is 1-855-662-7474. First up, we hear from Maria Elena Lopez, who spoke with Khalil Ekulona, host of the show Your NM Government, about her mother, Maxine Roybal Lopez. Here's that conversation.
So, Maria Elena, tell me about Maxine.
Oh, Maxine was a spunky, creative individual, very involved in my life, involved in my brother's life and my niece's. She would go to Kit Carson Elementary, where I teach third grade, and she would go and volunteer. And while she was there volunteering, she would make costumes for the kids for all our different performances that we had and for the cheerleaders. So she was very creative and very involved.
And that was one of her passions, was working with kids and the youth?
You know what? It was a passion. I think because she retired, she ended up really loving it. And she impacted so many of those young kids' lives. You know, a lot of them, they're a different generation of kids. And so to have an older generation there, it really did show the amount of respect that they had for her, because she was stern, but yet very loving.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell me what it was like growing up.
My mother was very strict. She was very strict, and she had high expectations of me. And she did teach me from an early age on that you need to work hard for anything in this life. Nothing's going to be given to you. So she taught me really good work ethic and had very high expectations of me. It was always go over and beyond. Never give me minimal work. And that goes for your teachers in school and everything that you do.
Was there any piece of advice or wisdom that she offered that helped you a lot, even if it kind of bugged you out at the time and she turned out to be right?
You know, she did, because my mother would always say, you're not going to give up. And there have been times in life where I'm like, oh, I can't do this. I don't want to do this. And she'd say, nope, you're not going to give up. No matter how you feel like you're not going to be able to do it, you do not give up. You push through and you fight and you get through it. Because in the end, when it's done with, you're going to say, wow, I was actually able to overcome that.
Mm-hmm. Like a strength and a wisdom there. She gave to the entire family, huh?
Yes, she did.
What were, like, her hobbies and pleasures and pastimes?
Oh, my mother's hobbies were my niece. My mother's hobbies were definitely making things. She was very creative. She made centerpieces for weddings. She did centerpieces for baby showers. She did costumes for the cheerleaders for Christmas parades. And she really just enjoyed spending time with my niece. Alexa was her pride and joy. So being able to pour into her the way she poured into me and my brother, that is something that she really enjoyed. Spending time with her was like every other weekend we got my niece. So every other weekend was like the highlight of her life. Like, oh, we're going to have Alexa. It was a big deal all the time for her.
Now, was your mom an avid cook at all?
My mother was a very good cook. Although I'm going to have to say now, toward her older years, as time was going on, she preferred takeout more than anything. But she did love to cook. And when she did, she made really great chicken soup. I'm going to have to say, when I was sick, my mama's soup always made me feel better.
Now, it sounds like she was just a kind of a bastion for the entire community. She did things for everybody, it sounds like.
She did. You know, she really did. She gave of herself. My mom always gave 100% of herself to everything that she did. And, you know, she was not a quiet individual. She was very outspoken, but she was very honest. And I think people appreciated her honesty because she never held back what she was thinking or feeling. She let you know exactly what she thought. And that made it actually quite helpful because my mom was so honest in that way that I always knew what my mother was thinking or what she was going to say to me was the truth that was coming out of her.
Yeah. How did that feel? And accepting that truth?
You know, sometimes it was hard. It's hard to accept truth that you don't want to be the truth. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you like to lie to yourself and think that your truth is better. But no, I did appreciate it as I got older. You know, I did see a different part of my mother as I got older because I was very close to my mother. She was my best friend.
Yeah.
So not having her has been very difficult, but I'm so appreciative of it.
Mm-hmm. You know, she's your mom, but she's also your friend. Talk to me about that relationship that really has grown stronger throughout the course of your life.
Well, you know, having her as my mom and as my friend, I'm going to have to say when I was younger, having her as a friend wasn't so much fun.
Yeah.
But as I got older, I did respect it and I really appreciated it because she was so good with giving me advice that whenever I was having a hard time with something, she was the first one to be there for me. Always there, always the one to give me that positive words of advice and never looked at a situation with negativity. She always told me, you know, it's okay. You're going to get through it. Don't worry about it. Everything's going to be fine. You can do it, Maria. And always lifted me up when I felt like I couldn't do anything. So having her as a best friend, and we love to go get our nails done together and go shopping together. Mm-hmm. I miss that. I miss her voice. I miss hearing her. I miss her cheering me on in the background because she was my biggest cheerleader throughout my whole life.
It sounds like she was an amazing woman for you, your brother, your niece, and everybody else.
She was. And she was so funny and so up to date with her lingo. Oh, my goodness. The things that pop out of her mouth would crack me up. I mean, she was funny and she was sarcastic at times, but there was no one like her.
That was Maria Elena Lopez speaking about her mother, Maxine, in conversation with Khalil Ecolona, host of our show, Your NM Government, last week. We'll hear more of that conversation in just a minute. We're spending the hour of Let's Talk New Mexico this morning honoring folks who died after contracting COVID-19. And we're so grateful to Maria Elena and the other guests for sharing about their loved ones. What reflections have you had about loss and life these past few weeks? What brings you comfort amidst the flood of case numbers and outbreak data? Joining the conversation, you can email us this morning, letstalk@kunm.org, or call in now. It's 505-277-5866. And if the show is bringing up any rough feelings for you, the New Mexico Grief Services Program has a free counseling advocacy, group therapy, referrals, emotional support. Those are all free resources. You can call them at 505-925-0567. And again, the crisis and access line for the state is 1-855-NM-CRISIS. You can call in this morning, 505-277-5866. Let's hear more of that conversation between KUNM's Khalil Ecolona and guest Maria Elena Lopez, who lost her mother, Maxine Roybal Lopez, to the coronavirus. She says her mom was her best friend, a fierce advocate for her family with a great sense of humor, and hip to the very end.
She was so hip the way she talked to the kids. Sometimes, oh, no, I know you're not playing me for a fool. I would love it.
Oh,
I would just, the things that would come out of her mouth, I'd be like, that's my mom. She is so cool, the things that come out of her mouth. And it seemed like the younger generation really did embrace her, and they loved talking to her. Even when we'd go to, like, the store, it'd be like the younger kids, like 16, 17-year-old boys. They love my mom. Oh, your mom's so cool. She's the best. I mean, she built relationships with everyone, Walmart, McDonald's, anywhere she went. They knew her.
Mm-hmm. Now, talk about this fire, this spunk. Tell me about that.
She had fire and spunk that no one was going to step on her kids, no matter what age we were. She was going to stand beside you, and she would let everybody know, you're not going to mess with them. And she's like that with my niece and anything that she did. If my mom truly believed in it, my mom would would fight for it. She'd make sure that things were done. If she didn't like something that was done in the school, she'd be the first one to be very honest and say, you know, these are changes that need to be done. From the time that I was in elementary school, she was very involved, a part of the PTA. When I was a cheerleader for Albuquerque High, she was also extremely involved and was the one to help get a lot of the fundraisers together to fund us to go to Japan. My mom had that spunk in her, and no one was going to tell her we couldn't do it, because there was no such thing as I can't in her vocabulary.
Mm-hmm. Now, tell me about how she grew up.
She grew up in Barelas. She was born and raised down here, and she had a very strict upbringing with my grandfather. My grandfather was a famous santero here in New Mexico, Max Roybal. He definitely pushed education with all of my siblings and stuff. My mom, on the other hand, was not a fan of school, but I mean, she did get through it and all. Yeah, she was raised all the time, very strict. I mean, that obviously came on to me. Mm-hmm. She had very high expectations of what was expected of me. So I knew at growing up, there's no such thing as just getting by in school. It's, I want over and beyond from you. I expect A's and B's, and there should be no reason for C's.
Did it give you this sense of not only are you representing yourself, but you're representing your entire family when you were at school and you were out at things?
Yes, it did. And I think because of that, even now, even when I made decisions now as an adult, I always thought about, I don't want to let down my family. I don't want to let down my mother, because my mother's expectations of me have always been so high. And so, yes, I did carry that while I was in school. And I think that's what pushed me to excel in school and to continue on with going further, going into college. I knew that was an expectation. It wasn't something like, I don't think I'm going to do it. I don't want to try it. No, you're going to do it. And you're going to do something with your life.
Mm-hmm. I want to thank you again for coming on and sharing all of these wonderful stories with us. Really do appreciate it.
No problem. Yeah. No problem. Anything that has to do with my mother and being able to let people see what kind of an individual she was, because she was more than this COVID virus taking her. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad I'm able to share what my mother was like.
Yeah, and you talk about that fire she has. I could hear it in your voice. The apple does not fall far from the tree at all.
No, it does not.
Maria Elena Lopez, she's sharing with us stories about her wonderful mother, Maxine Lopez. Again, thank you so much, and we're thinking about you. We appreciate you coming on.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
You're listening to Let's Talk New Mexico. That was Khalil Ecolona, host of our show, Your NM Government, speaking with Maria Elena Lopez last week. They recorded that beautiful conversation about her mother, Maxine Roybal Lopez, who was born and raised in Barelas. I want to welcome to the show this morning Kelly Guybe Eckenroth of the Children's Grief Center of New Mexico. Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning, Hannah.
Thanks for being with us.
For having us.
You know, one of the really horrible, hard things about this pandemic is folks can't get together for those communal end-of-life celebrations, the funerals, the memorials. You do a lot of work with families and children, especially around expressing grief healthily. Can you talk about why it's so important for both individuals and communities to have ways to speak and share about the people they've lost?
Absolutely. I was just listening to Mary Elena talk about Maxine, and it sounded like Maxine was the glue that held her family together. And I was just thinking about during this time that maybe Maxine was the person that she would have turned to for support during this time. And grief is so isolating, and this time when we're quarantined, we feel even more isolated. And when someone dies, mm-hmm. what we need more than anything is the people we love next to us, supporting us, hugging us, you know, sharing tears with us. And we can't have that now. And that is so hard. But we have to find ways that we can express our grief and get that support we need. I was watching a video the other day online, and it was a tribute to a grandmother. All of the cousins got together and got online on Zoom or something. And they shared virtually a song, Moon River, that to honor their grandmother. It was the most beautiful thing, mm-hmm. and I could see the connections. And so with this quarantine, we have to find those ways of maintaining those connections and support. And also the people that we might look to for support are maybe dealing with their own issues during this time. So maybe they're not checking in on you like they might have if this hadn't have happened.
Right. So. Well, that's a lovely idea, a tribute over Zoom and a song together. This morning, we're honoring New Mexicans who died after contracting COVID-19. We need to go to a break now, but our phone lines are open if you'd like to share about a loved one or an acquaintance, a coworker, someone you'd heard of across the country even, who was lost to this pandemic. Also call, tell us how you're coping with grief and other big feelings through this pandemic. It's 277-5866. This is Let's Talk New Mexico on 89.9 KUNM. I'm Hannah Colton. We'll be back in a minute.
Support comes from Rothstein Donatelli Law Firm, providing legal advice and representation for Native American tribes, people facing criminal charges, expungement of criminal records, civil rights plaintiffs, and survivors of sexual abuse. RothsteinLaw.com.
Next time you lace up your running shoes, don't forget to take KUNM with you. Our new mobile app has live streaming, our two-week archive, podcasts, and much more to keep you company on your run. Search KUNM in the Apple App Store or Google Play and download today.
Pianist Joanne Polk loves music by French composer Louise Farenc.
She seems to put on the page of what was in her soul. I relate to that.
I'm Fred Child. Join me and Joanne Polk to explore music by Louise Farenc on the next Performance Today from APM.
Weekday mornings at 9 on KUNM.
Good morning. You're listening to Let's Talk New Mexico on KUNM 89.9. Thanks for tuning in. I'm your host, Hannah Colton. Today, we honor people who've died of COVID-19 in New Mexico. If you have anything about grief, loss, and celebration of life that you'd like to share, you can call in this morning, 277-5866. A huge thank you to those who shared about their loved ones on our show, Your NM Government, last week. Now, let's hear from Allison Keeswood, who lost her husband, Vladimir Keeswood. Allison spoke with KUNM's Khalil Ikolona.
Tell me about your husband.
He was the most generous, lighthearted person you could meet. He really liked to help people out, and he was the funniest person I ever met. I mean, we seriously laughed every day, and that was one of the big things one of the main reasons I loved him so much. He was just so funny. He would just break out in dances every now and then just to make me laugh. And I'm certainly going to miss that about him.
Mm-hmm. What type of things did he find funny?
Everything. I mean, we could turn a joke out of anything. We would drive to the store and just seeing somebody in the car, and we would often talk about what other people would talk about, other couples in their vehicles would talk about, and because we're like, I don't think they're as weird as we are. But he really could turn anything into a joke. All kinds of things, even the most darkest thing. And he would say something hilarious about it. And for a second, we would be like, oh my God, we're terrible people because we're laughing about it. But I think that's how we dealt with a lot of things, a lot of very serious things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Tell me, what were his passions or interests?
Oh, he absolutely loved video games. Video games and sports. Those are pretty much the only things he really did. I'd come home every night and find him playing his video game. He'd actually wake up early before work to play.
Wow.
He played Dead by Daylight and Apex, and those were kind of his main things recently. But before, it kind of started out with Madden and the NBA games and stuff like that. So, and he was the biggest Dallas Cowboy fan you could find. He was always debating with people about the games, and he'd just be like, okay, maybe next year, maybe next year.
Yeah.
When we first got engaged, he goes, we'll get married when the Cowboys win the Super Bowl. I said, I don't think I can wait that long.
Yeah, you may be waiting a long time for that.
Yeah, so I'm glad he didn't hold me to that.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell me, how did you both meet?
We actually met in high school in band. He was actually 2 years younger than me. He was 15 and I was 17. He was a sophomore. I was a senior. And we officially met on a band trip in Flagstaff. We did a marching band competition. And after the competition, I went back to the bus with my friend and she went to go grab some stuff. And he just walked up, threw his arm around my shoulder and said, "Hey, how you doing?" And from there, I mean, we've been inseparable. Yeah. He was so confident. Even back then, he's always had this amazing confidence about him that I always admired and hopefully can strive to once I like just to be like him is just something amazing.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any favorite stories or memories about him?
I do have a picture on my phone that I've been looking at a lot recently, and we were in bed and I was just kind of playing around with this virtual try on makeup thing through, and I tried it on him. So his face in that is hilarious because I told him to open his eyes because every time he would smile, his eyes get really squinty.
Okay.
I told him to open his eyes so I could see them. And the face on that picture, he looks so scared. And he has like the ugliest makeup on, like the most terrible colors. But it's one of my favorite pictures because it really just like reminds me of how he was. He was willing to do anything that I asked. And even at his own like expense, and he was just the most wonderful person anyone could ever know.
That's Allison Keyswood talking about her husband, Vladimir. She spoke with KUNM's Khalil Ikolona last week, and we thank her so much for sharing. We're going to hear a bit more of that conversation, but I just want to invite you, if you would like to join in the conversation this morning, give us a call at 277-5866. You can also write in at letstalk@kunm.org. Send us an email. This morning, it's a communal celebration of life that we're going for. And we've also got a wonderful staff member from the Children's Grief Center of New Mexico on the line to share tips about coping and navigating loss during this time. Now, more from Allison Keyswood about her husband, Vladimir, who she says was a generous, kind, and lighthearted companion.
We did everything together. As long as we were in the house together, we felt comfortable. And if you ask his mother, she said you guys were always together. Every picture she had, because she tried to find some pictures that were just him, she goes, "All the pictures I have, they're of you two together." And that pretty much summed up our life. I mean, we were together all the time. We preferred to be together over friends and family sometimes. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of hard right now to like imagine him not here. And the longest we'd ever been apart from each other was about a week out of almost 20 years.
Yeah. You spoke earlier about, you know, wanting to arise to his level of confidence that he had in himself.
Yeah.
And was that the nature of your relationship? Did you both inspire each other just to become better versions of yourselves?
I believe so. And actually, it was a little bit deeper than that. We literally thought that we were not so much soulmates, but we were polar opposites, from the music to movies that we liked. We really totally separate things, but we just always kind of laughed about it. But really, I believe that like spiritually, we were connected in that way. We were like the missing piece to each other. And that's kind of what I'm dealing with right now that is so devastating, is that I'm literally missing the other half of my heart. I know it sounds so cheesy, but he really did complete me.
Yeah. It doesn't sound cheesy to me at all. What are you doing now to take care of yourself?
I have my sister here and my niece. She's 14. They walk every day. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie. It's not my favorite thing. It's my favorite thing to do during the day now because we do it together. But I mean, it definitely helps to get out and realize that there's still people out. They're still trying to take care of themselves. And me and Vlad used to go to the gym together a lot. That's one thing we did together. And I thought at the beginning that it would be a little hard because he's not there to do that with me. But I do have my sister and my niece. I honestly would not know what I would have done or would have happened if they hadn't been here for me.
Yeah, I want to thank you again for sharing this with us, sharing the stories as we honor your husband. I really want to thank you for this. We're thinking about you and we appreciate you.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate just letting people know what kind of person he was, especially with all the victims there. It's nice to know that there's faces and names and stories to go along with all of them.
That was Allison Keyswood speaking with KUNM's Khalil Ikolona about her husband, Vladimir Keyswood. Thank you again, Allison. And this morning, we're remembering New Mexicans lost to the coronavirus. How are you coping with the grief and fear of living through this pandemic? How has this crisis touched your life? What has it taught you? Is there anything it's made you more grateful for? We want to hear from you. You can join the conversation by calling 277-5866. Or the toll-free number is 1-877-899-5866. And again, the New Mexico Crisis and Access Line is standing by if you could use some support right now. That's 1-855-NM-CRISIS. And I want to put out the New Mexico Department of Health Coronavirus Hotline. That's for health-related questions. That is 1-855-600-3453. We're listening this morning on Let's Talk New Mexico to conversations that originally aired on our show, Your NM Government, last week. Our next guest was hesitant to use her name because, unfortunately, she was insulted by trolls online after speaking publicly about her mother's death due to the coronavirus. She spoke with KUNM's Khalil Ikolona. Here's that conversation.
Our next guest hesitates to use her name because she was insulted and trolled online after talking about her mother's passing due to COVID. But here she is with us now to talk about and honor her mom. Thanks for being with me today.
Thank you for having me.
So tell me about your mom.
Mom was very inquisitive and always trying to learn a new task or improve a design. My grandfather was an electrical and mechanical engineer. He owned his own factory adjacent to their home. So as a child, she watched as her father designed and built machinery, wired the house or factory and built wooden cabinets, bookcases with glass fronts, just about anything.
Okay.
She used to joke that she could do anything with her hands except pick pockets. She couldn't read crochet instructions, but she could look at a photo or sample and replicate it perfectly.
Wow.
She would knit complex patterns into her sweaters. She won many national art competitions while she was in school. And I remember she took up oil painting when we lived in Germany for 4.5 years and painted many of my favorite scenes that I enjoyed. And she was first and foremost a very talented seamstress.
Mm.
She had always sewed our clothes, but she went to work for the most exclusive women and men's clothing store in the Twin Cities. She learned a lot of tailoring skills.
Mm-hmm.
So she sewed my wedding dress, adding lace, pearls, and sequins by hand.
Wow.
And when she was 89 years old, she sewed our daughter's wedding dress.
That is beautiful.
She just had a lot of talents. She loved to sing, and she was vibrant and would sing around the house, and our daughter remembers the funny sounds she would make to add dramatic flair to her story or emotion, like saying, "Oh," when she went to lift something.
Okay.
Or just entering a room. You know, it was not a ta-da, but it was a... The way she entered a room just lit it up.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was so full of life.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like your mother was not just this force of nature for the family, but it seems like she was like this for the community as well.
She really tried to build a community. She knew what it meant to be lonely. In her adoptive land, she became a citizen, but she was an immigrant. She worked at making others comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And she would do things to try to ease or improve their lives. And she was very thoughtful, trying to anticipate what others needed. She was more mobile than a lot of the folks where she lived. She was an independent living. and she would just pop up and go get the takeout container for them to take part of their meal back to their room, or, you know, to go grab another napkin, or she would see that someone was having difficulty with something at the table, she would stand up and reach over the table so that the salt shaker was closer to them. Mm-hmm. And she would remember what people around her needed, mm-hmm. literally.
Mm-hmm. What do you think you learned from her?
Oh, our daughter wasn't able to be on the call, but I think I'm going to share what she said. My parents provided after-school care for our daughter, and she was especially close to Mom. She said, I remember that she always had a cold drink for me after Dad's class. Mm-hmm. I think about how clever she was, how inventive, how she taught me to be as well. Mm-hmm. She instilled in me the belief I can figure anything out. She would take bag designs and improve them and customize them and give them to people who needed them, which I think is a wonderful memory. She was teaching my daughter to sew. I never learned to sew because I couldn't do it well enough.
Yeah.
For her standards.
Yeah.
But she had great patience for her granddaughter. And in, it was July, August, my daughter took apart a Japanese kimono, one that the older women would wear. You know, it's black and works really well for formal wear.
Mm-hmm.
She helped my mother recut it, and my mother sewed a vest for our high school reunion that we went back for.
Was there any piece of advice or wisdom that your mom offered you that helped you a lot in life?
My mother was a fighter, and she would always tell me, don't let yourself be bullied. To stand up and don't be cowed mm-hmm. by someone's prejudice, their unfairness, or their meanness. And then to always remember to thank people that have been good to you
mm-hmm.
and to help anyone who needs the help, even if they don't at the time think they do. Just be present and be there for them.
This is Let's Talk New Mexico. We're listening to a guest who wanted to remain anonymous because she was harassed online after sharing about losing her mother. If you want to join the conversation this morning, that number is 277-5866. Here's our guest again, speaking with KUNM's Khalil Ekolona about her mom's passing. She wanted to stress how seriously folks should take the pandemic.
It's a painful disease because you can't be with them, that we need to remember to keep others safe. It's not just about our own well-being. And it's a horrible, horrible disease. The patient suffers a lot at the end. We had some wonderful nurses and a doctor where we could call her, and it was towards the end, it was difficult for her to hold the phone or to hear. She didn't have her hearing aids in. So they would use the little speaker device that they have where they can page people.
Mm.
And they would turn that on and lean down so that we could talk to her. And it's a lonely, lonely death. We had to do a funeral service by Zoom. And her cremains were sent back to Minnesota to be buried with my dad. He's a vet. So that's where she wanted to be, and that's great, but it hurt.
Yeah.
Not being able to do the last goodbye.
Yeah.
So I guess my last point is for everyone to think deeply about their families, to remind them that they love one another. This is a tough time for everyone, but to take care of your loved ones and just make sure they know you love them, because you never know when tragedy is going to hit. And you want to have that peace.
Thank you very much for sharing this with us. Do you have everything that you need? Are you all in the need of any resources at all?
No, we're doing quite well. We're officially the old people in the neighborhood.
Hmm.
We retired to New Mexico.
Okay.
And our neighbors have been very good. They were, both my husband and I were COVID positive, of course,
okay.
afterwards. And he had a very, very, very bad bout. Mine was milder, but they were checking in every day by message to see if we needed anything. A neighbor called me yesterday to make sure I'm doing well. I'm over trying to pack her things up, so it's been pretty emotional. It's coming. It takes time.
Yeah.
And it's hard when you weren't able to mourn properly. And, you know, I need to vacate her apartment as soon as possible. And it's just hard to go through so many years. My mother didn't keep junk.
Mm.
They're all treasures. Everything has been, you know, neatly put together. And it's wrapped in plastic to keep the New Mexico sand out. But everything is, you know, she cleaned her house 2 days before she got really sick. It's the memories. It's hard.
Yeah.
But we're finding good things. There's a Japanese community here in town, and one of the ladies is 90. She never got to meet my mom. But she inherited all the DVDs and CDs, and I told them, you share them as you wish.
Mm-hmm.
But, she had hundreds of books. She probably had 500 books. So they will have a life after this.
Yeah.
And my mother continues to give after she's gone.
I want to thank that guest again so much for telling us about her mother. She spoke with KUNM's Khalil Ekolona. It's time for a quick break. If you want to share something on air this morning about grief and celebration of life, give us a call, 505-277-5866. This is Let's Talk New Mexico on KUNM. I'm Hannah Colton. We'll be back in a minute.
Support provided by Weekly Alibi, covering news, arts, and entertainment for Albuquerque since 1992. The friends at Weekly Alibi invite the community to help support local independent journalism when it's needed the most. Info at alibi.com/friends.
I'm Maria Hinojosa. Next time on Latino USA, we look at the damage that Latino small business owners are facing during the COVID-19 crisis and how they've been shut out from the relief that was meant to help them.
This is going to be a sort of generational asset destruction for communities of color and low-income people.
That's next time on Latino USA.
That's Latino USA, Monday mornings at 8 a.m. on KUNM.
Pregnancy is a time of hope and anticipation for expecting mothers. But the COVID-19 pandemic is adding anxiety. Hospitals have new procedures to protect mothers and newborns. We'll hear what those giving birth might expect on the next Native America Calling.
Weekday mornings at 11 on KUNM.
Good morning, and welcome back to Let's Talk New Mexico on KUNM. I'm your host, Hannah Colton. This morning, we're celebrating the lives of New Mexicans who died after getting COVID-19, the human cost of the virus, huge, and how to navigate grief during this time. If you'd like to join in, give us a call, 277-5866. I want to join on the line from Albuquerque, Roger. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Thanks for calling in. What did you want to add?
And thank you for this wonderful program. My heart goes out to all those who have lost people. And also my heart goes out to all those wonderful people on the front lines that are trying to minimize the impact of this virus. Mm-hmm. I really do believe that they've shown that we are in this together. I also want to ask that all of us who have moral authority and political authority step up and help the most vulnerable among us. I'm concerned about the people in the jails and in the immigration detention centers. We might not be able to force authorities to act, but they can use their own moral authority to release as many people as possible, so that we don't have any more cases of people needing to grieve their loved ones than is absolutely necessary. So I request that we all encourage ourselves to act for the least vulnerable. Thank you so much. And I speak, of course, about the governor and her good work. She's going to need to step up to help these good people, because the Supreme Court won't force her to do so. Let's work on that. Thank you. I hope it's not too political, that it's really about all of us. Thank you.
Thanks for bringing that up, Roger. And I wanted to ask, you said, you know, getting by with the help of frontline workers. Are there any people or interactions or stories you've heard about that you're especially feeling grateful for?
Well, I'm feeling very grateful for those people who, for all of them, I know they're even doing things such as trying to bring photo cards, inviting people to send photo cards to the hospital so that they can share those with staff, people going to the hospital without having any members being able to visit them. I thought that was a nice gesture. I think people stepping up and making masks and sending millions now really to the Navajo and Hopi and Zuni people and to other Pueblos, these are really expressions of genuinely being in this together. So all of those actions, I think, must be of much support and build and help us keep our strong resilience that New Mexicans have.
Thanks so much for that, Roger. I appreciate your call this morning. And we do have on the line Kelly Geib Eckenroth with the Children's Grief Center of New Mexico. And I wanted to ask Kelly if you just have any reflections about anything you've heard this morning. And particularly, I know you work with kids a lot and you run groups for children who've had a family member die. So, you know, if you could tell us how your work has changed during this stay-at-home order, during this time of isolation.
Yeah, so it's been quite a challenge, but we've managed to shift our services online, and we are doing tween and teen groups online and adult groups, and we are doing family workshops for younger children, so like 5 through 10 online. And it is a really difficult time for kids. One of the things kids worry about most after a loved one dies is they worry about other people they love dying. And with the pandemic, it's really challenging to allay those fears. Mm. But it's really important to be honest with kids and keep them informed, you know, with as clear and honest as you can be without giving too much information. And also know that children still need those boundaries and routine. It helps them to feel safe. And that grief also impacts our ability and children's ability to focus and concentrate. And so don't be so hard on them with the distance learning. They're doing the best they can. And then also I just wanted to speak to all those secondary losses, you know, those not being able to celebrate birthdays that come with the pandemic. And also those losses of not seeing friends, just not communicating. I know that's a big one for teens because their peer group is so important to them. I know the teens I've been working with online, that's been a big thing for them, is just not being able to hang out with their friends. Fears of having or spreading the virus, that's a loss. And these are kind of ambiguous losses because we can't really put a handle on it, but loss of, you know, potential food and shelter, more anxiety because we don't really have control. But Dr. David Kessler, he was a colleague of Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's, and he wrote a book recently called Finding Meaning, the Sixth Stage of Grief, and he gives some good advice. He says, like,
that's an update
on
the five stages, right?
Right. So, he was a colleague of hers, and they did a book on the five stages together later in her life as they related to grieving death. And he did it, the sixth stage, and it's about finding meaning. And he says that, you know, that our emotions need motion. We need to allow our feelings to happen, but then we need to let go of what we can't control and stock up on compassion. And I think those are very wise words for what we're going through right now.
Thank you for that.
And just to remember that, you know, our teens, it's really hard for them because their peers are their support group, and just kind of giving them downtime. They really withdraw and they really need time to just have their own space. So,
yeah, given a lot of slack, that makes sense. Well, four people shared stories about their loved ones with our show, Your New Mexico Government, last week, and I want to hear from that fourth person. We deeply appreciate them taking that time. Host Khalil Ekolona spoke with Glenn Ford about his mother, Ruth McKinney Ford.
My mother was born Ruth M. Ford as a twin to Clark and Ruth Mizde McKinney in Tucson, Arizona. And Mom eventually went to New Mexico A&M, now known as New Mexico State University. And she was in the Department of Home Economics and received her bachelor's degree there. She was very active in the Chi Omega chapter of the sorority. And so she became very attached to the Chi Omega chapter and continued throughout her life as a participant, promoting education for women. And so Mom met, in the meantime, my father, C. Quentin Ford, who was going to New Mexico State University, finishing up an engineering degree. And they met and became life partners and were married in 1950. Mom eventually joined a PEO chapter, which is very involved in education for women. And their goal is to promote women's opportunities, scholarship for education. So she eventually became the president of the chapter. So in the meantime, she took care of us as a mother would. She was also able to get a job at a little Indian jewelry and art gallery. She was involved in social and community activities. She helped to plan for the new Presbyterian church there in Las Cruces. She was extremely active in choir. She had perfect pitch, and she sang in the church choir. She could play piano, and she, through high school and college, she had played the clarinet.
Okay.
So she was musical.
What was her favorite kind of music to listen to?
Mostly classic. Okay. It was classic music, classical or church-related music, but mm-hmm. mostly classical. And Mom continued her activities well into her retirement years. She would always say, homemakers never retire.
Hmm.
And we kept telling her, but Mom, it's time.
Yeah.
One of her great gifts, and she started this in the 60s, she became a caregiver, both for my grandparents, and at times they either needed to be taken care of or they needed to see specialists. And she would go to the doctor's appointments for the grandparents. She had many friends there in Las Cruces, and she would also be a caregiver and a person to listen, to bring food, hold her hand when necessary.
It sounds like she took care of everybody she met.
She did. She did.
Mm-hmm.
And she was had a lot of love and food. She loved to cook. Some of her foods were just to die for. Her pastries, her pies, her cinnamon rolls were extremely tasty. And I still remember them to this day. Quite often she would stow away some in a freezer for parties, get-togethers, or to take them to families in need. However, my sister and I, especially myself, found them in the freezer and they would kind of disappear. They're so good.
Yeah.
But we had a very small family. They only had two children, myself, Glenn Ford, and my sister, Dabney Ford, and we both attended New Mexico State University. I attained a degree in civil engineering. My sister, a degree in anthropology with a specialty with archaeology. I worked, eventually, it took a while, but I had a career with the Forest Service, the U.S. Forest Service. Started out on the Gila National Forest. I was stationed right there in Silver City, my family, part of my family's hometown.
Mm-hmm.
So their influenced our careers, because we would always, as kids, when we traveled, we would go to national forests, we would go to national parks,
yeah.
We would go to museums. We were a science family.
Mm-hmm.
One of my mother's favorite hobbies were antique collectibles or Indian jewelry, and she was always on the lookout for old jewelry and textiles, rugs, and the like.
It sounds like your mom was just a bastion of light for everyone.
Yes, yes. The house was always decorated with these antiques. When you walked in, it looked like she had arranged an antique shop, but tasteful and not real cluttered. It was always neat, dusted, clean, and vacuumed.
Yeah.
Dishes were always washed and put away. She could put together a meal and serve 12 people without batting an eye.
Mm-hmm. I want to thank you so much for sharing these wonderful stories about your mom.
Yes, it's been a pleasure.
Yeah.
And we so loved her. It was hugely sad that we could not be with her at her death. We just couldn't comfort her and be close to her. In the end, my parents chose to be up in Farmington near my sister to spend their retirement period and in this wonderful assisted living where my sister could oversee and care for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I would travel up there.
Yeah.
And my father passed in 2016, and then mom started declining and unfortunately caught the COVID-19 early on. She was the first to show symptoms in the nursing home, so we could not be with her. Thank you very much for this interview, my sister Dabney Ford, and I really appreciate it.
Oh, well, thank you for sharing with us. We're all thinking about you, and we appreciate you, and it's been an honor of mine to speak with you and honor your mother, Ruth McKinney Ford. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Glenn Ford in conversation with KUNM's Khalil Ikaluna. Thank you so much again, Glenn. And we've got just a minute left, but I want to welcome a caller from Albuquerque. Ellen, good morning.
Good morning.
You're on air.
Yeah, good morning. I just wanted to give a shout out to all of the grocery store workers simply because they are on the front lines, not only that, but helping those of us who are visually impaired like myself. And because I have, I can't read the print that's on the items, so I need help with that. But I just want to give a big shout out to them. And we had a real scare real quick, but with my stepniece, but she's fine now. So I just wanted to chime in on that.
Hey, yeah, Ellen, good to hear from you again, and I'm glad your stepniece is okay, and I'm glad that the grocery workers have been helping you out. Thanks for calling. And we are just about out of time for today. Thank you so much to Kelly Guybe Eckenroth for joining us, a staff member at the Children's Grief Center of New Mexico. Huge thanks to Glenn Ford, Maria Elena Lopez, Allison Keeswood, and our guest who told us about her mom. We so, so appreciate you sharing about your family members. The state hotline, again, for health-related COVID-19 issues is 1-855-600-3453. For other things like childcare, food, and income, the statewide number is 1-833-551-0518. Again, the crisis and access line is open 24/7 at 1-855-NM-CRISIS. There's also the statewide warm line for people to call if you're feeling low or lonely. That warm line number is 1-855-4-NM-7100. They'll take your call between 3:30 and 11:30 each day. You can also text them between 6 and 11. That's 1-855-4-NM-7100. If you're a hospital worker or a first responder and you want to talk to someone, that number is 1-855-507-5509. We've got all those resources posted on the show page at kunm.org. The conversations we aired this morning come from the People Beyond the Numbers episode of Your NM Government, a daily show about how COVID is affecting folks across the state. That show is produced by the extremely hardworking team of Khalil Ikaluna and Marisa DeMarco. Catch the next show tonight at 7:30 for an update about what's going on in prisons and jails across the state, our incarcerated community members. Subscribe to Your NM Government wherever you get your podcasts. Your NM Government is a collaboration between KUNM, New Mexico PBS, and the Santa Fe Reporter. If you missed any part of today's Let's Talk New Mexico show, listen online at KUNM.org or subscribe on your podcast app. Big thanks to our engineer, Marino Spencer. Kaveh Movahed screened your calls. Bryce Dix live tweeted and Ty Bannerman produced today's show. I'm Hannah Colton, executive producer. Thank you for listening to Let's Talk New Mexico.